Well, turn to Revelation chapter 13. Well, good morning. Get all my notes out here. I'm down to the last part of this one. But I think it's a tremendous chapter. Revelation chapter 13. Why don't we stand? We'll just read the first 9 verses since we've read it before. I'll read the first, you read the second in unison, and so on. Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as feet of the bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave his power, his seat, and great authority.
And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered at it.
And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him.
And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months.
And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven.
And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb, slain from the foundations
of the world.
If any man have an ear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, open our minds, open our hearts.
Amen.
Touch us, help us to be blessed by your word today. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that Amen. Only you can give. We ask that your Holy Spirit would touch hearts and lives here. And Lord, just give us joy as we open up your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Now, we went through about up to verse 5 last week. And you see right here, you have this beast coming up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And, of course, that's 10 kingdoms or 10 nations. He's conquered them. And he's like a leopard. And, of course, a leopard has spots, and you would notice a different spot coming on it like you would on something that was all white or all brown or all black with something white. It was a leopard. It was a combination of things. And one of the heads were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Satan has been cast down to the earth. And here we have this beast coming up out of the ocean. And it's the Antichrist. Now, he's coming out from the people here. And this beast evidently is a ruler of a kingdom or a country, and he gets maybe shot, maybe blown up, who knows, maybe stabbed, maybe poisoned, I don't know what. He's pronounced dead, just like Christ was pronounced dead. Now, the reason why you know for sure Christ was pronounced dead, they didn't break his legs. Now, they broke the legs of the other two to make sure they weren't going to live. And Christ, they didn't break a bone of him because he died a little bit earlier. Okay, what we have here now, this is the picture of the Antichrist. And so what we're talking about are these great personages. This 13th chapter lets us in on the future rulers of the world and the unholy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, the devil is an imitator. He's not a creator. The devil's not a creator. He's an imitator. He takes something that God gave us for good and turns it to evil. I think almost all sin, I may be proved wrong with some of your thinking, but to me, almost all sin is a misuse of what God has given us. like sex. Sex is a wonderful thing. It's not dirty. It's not nasty. It's not awful. But it needs to be done the way God wants it to be done. And the devil said, oh, no, you want many partners. You want as many as you can possibly get. Have all the fun you can have and what all, you know. Well, that's not God's way. And you're not going to get the best. Well, what about alcohol or drugs of various sorts? Man, I take a load of drugs every day. I'm a druggie. I take 4 shots of insulin a day, and I take about 18 pills. I'm still alive. I'm on the green side of the grass still. Praise the Lord. Okay. But now, I take them, they are very careful about telling me, don't do too much of this, and don't do too little of this, and you be sure, and they want me to watch things like that. Well, you take too many of them, and what happens to you? You're ruined. You're absolutely ruined. And the same way with alcohol. Alcohol's good. It's a wonderful thing. It'll cleanse a wound. It works with a lot of medicine. But if you drink too much and you become a drunk and you lose your family and you lose your job and you finally lose your life, that's sin. That's right. That's what that does to it. And so you need to watch. I'm an addictive person. I'm glad I quit drinking when I got saved. I'm glad I quit smoking when I got saved. I'd probably died of the black lung somewhere back then, you know, 60 or something like that. You just never know. Well, here we have misuse of these things. Well, what's going to happen in this chapter right here? We're going to have revealed to us the future ruler of the world. He wasn't Napoleon, by the way. He wasn't Genghis Khan. Wasn't Tamerlane. He wasn't Hannibal. He wasn't Caesar. Nobody's ever done what this guy's going to do, and it's what he's telling you about in this chapter here. There was given him a mouth, this is verse 5, speaking great things and blasphemies. His power was given unto him to continue in 42 months. We closed right here last week. He's going to have power from God to rule the world for 3.5 years. Now, I know you sometimes have problems. In Revelation, you got 7-year period of time, and it's divided into 2 3.5s. And certain things happen and they stop, and certain things start and they go. But there's a 7-year period of Daniel's prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled. And what we're talking about in the book of Revelation is that 7-year period. And here we have, he's coming out of the sea, would be out of the people. I don't know what nation he would be coming from. But he's got a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. When Jesus was before the Sanhedrin, he said things that they said, you can't say, that's God. You're blaspheming. But you see, Jesus wasn't, because the Bible tells us that all the fullness of the Godhead, that's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, was bodily in Jesus Christ. So he made no blasphemy. Anything he said there was never a blasphemy. But this guy is going to claim to be God. He has wanted, we saw the devil, the big dragon, Satan, cast out of heaven, and now he's down on the earth. And he's doing a lot of damage and whatever, all that he can. Well, he wants to be like God. Now, the devil, I think, I don't know that I could prove it. I think he's the highest created being ever made. Now, that's just in my mind. He's a created being, and he was the head of all. He was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. And we still have 4 cherubs around God. You see them in the Bible several places. These many-winged and many-eyed birds or men or whatever. And he was the best of them. But that didn't satisfy him. He wanted to be God. But he's not a creator. He's an imitator. And you're going to see him right here in this chapter. He's imitating what God has. God has this triune holy trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's not a preacher in the world that can explain that. You can go ask them all you want to. They have fought it for years. The greatest minds in Christendom have fought how to explain the Trinity. And so some people, and oh, it's just one God, then there's three gods, and they got all sorts of things. But no, I don't know how to explain it either. I just believe it. I believe what it says. I believe Holy Spirit's God. He's in me. And that's Jesus. And that's the Father. You hear Jesus talking to the disciples and says, have I been so long a time with you? And don't you know me yet? They said, show us the Father. He said, have I been so long a time with you? You don't know me yet? He's telling them, I'm the Father walking around with you. Well, and what is it when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into us. Who is that? That's Jesus. Amen. Jesus lives within us.
Amen.
Jesus there. And he said, I can't send the Holy Spirit unless I go away. As long as he was walking around physically, bodily, in a human body on the face of the earth, the Holy Spirit was not going to be in all the believers. That's not around in the Old Testament. It's the church that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And so what we have then is this unholy Trinity. Now this is the Antichrist. And he's trying to get the world to worship the dragon, which is the devil, in verse 4. And he speaks of great things, and blasphemies, and power was given him to continue 42 months. The devil does not have equal power with God. The devil could not exist one more day without God letting him. Somehow, it's in God's plan. God did not make the world a safe place. It's a pretty bad place. Just turn on your news, and all news is bad news. Some of them try to put a nice little thing at the end or something like that to have some good news to report. But it's news when somebody gets killed. It's news when somebody has a wreck. It's news when a hurricane picks a car up and throws it with the people in it. In fact, I just saw it this morning. You know, they're driving down the highway. They get hit with a tornado, and they're throwing a bunch of whole places. I don't know what. Bad news. But that's news. Well, this is a bad place. He allows the devil to have because of something in his will. I don't know. But life's not exactly fair, and none of us have exactly the same talents. We don't have the same amount of money. We don't live in the same place. We don't all have webbed toes on our feet. I do. That's why I'm such a swimmer. But I got a great-grandson that has webbed toes. Okay. It was given unto him to make war with the saints, verse 7, and to overcome them. Given unto him. That strike you? That bother you? You mad at God? Hey, everything, this prosperity gospel is not right. It is not right. Some of the greatest Christians in the world, and I think going to be great in heaven, are in China and Africa and Asia, and they're suffering and they've lost their families and whatever. They must be out of the will of God, huh? I mean, they got fired from their job because they had a Christian testimony. Must be out of the will of God. No, no. You and I don't understand these things. In fact, Verlene and I have talked about it many times. Some of our best years were some of the roughest times we went through. When we were the poorest and had to scratch for everything and whatever. But they were great years because of the love that we had and the family that we had and because of the Lord and whatever. But sure wasn't equal to other people. I wish many times I could do what somebody else did. I had many friends that had made a lot more money than I did most of my life. And you can't preach this prosperity gospel and it be right with the Bible. It's just not the Bible truth. That's Amen. Not the gospel.
Amen.
In fact, if you get saved, your husband or wife may leave you. It's happened. It's happened. If you get saved, you might actually be fired. And in some places, Well, that would just be like the old Roman government. They didn't care how many gods you had, just as long as you made the Roman emperor a god. You had to spread some incense and bow down to him, make him a god. Well, the Christians couldn't do it and wouldn't do it and died for it, were crucified, some of them upside down and burned. You read Fox's book of Christian Martyrs, and there's some of the famous back there. Read chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and you will find these people, the world wasn't worth them. But they didn't have any money, and they were in jail, and they had all sorts of problems. Their kids were killed. They were destroyed. Some of the great Christians that brought about the Reformation spent years in prison. Watchman Nee spent 20 years in prison, and the only person that could visit him was his wife. And she died, and nobody could visit him, and he died soon after. Tremendous testimony. But it's certainly not the prosperity gospel. And what's God doing here? He's changing the world. We're looking at what's going to happen in the future. And I have a problem. I still watch movies. I watch television. And I don't like the futuristic ones. That bothers me. I don't like their ideas. I don't like Superman, Batman, anybody with superpowers somehow. It doesn't ring bells. But you take a fighter like David, yeah, I like that. I think hallelujah for David and his sling and his five smooth stones. Kill a 10-foot giant. Wow, he's something else, you know. Trust in God, probably about a 17-year-old going down there. And Saul, big man himself, trying to put his armor on David. David couldn't walk. He couldn't sling that sling. He took away all of his protection. Now that's the kind of hero I like, you know. Somebody actually does something that a human being could possibly do. But we're going to have a Superman here. This guy's going to really, what do they ask of Jesus all the time? Show us a sign. Show us a sign. We'll believe you. Show us a sign. Well, man, there were signs every day. Anybody that walked around him said, man, he makes the blind to see. He makes the dead to live. He heals the lepers. He touches lepers. You're not supposed to touch a leper. He touches lepers and heals them. So look at what we got right here. This guy is going to have a big mouth. And he is going to be able to make war, verse 7, with the saints and overcome them. That hurts your faith? It's what's going to happen. It may happen to us before we're through. It just may happen to us. We're awful, lucky, blessed, whatever.
Amen.
To live in this great bubble we call the United States of America. And at the time we're living, the poorest of us are more wealthy than most of the people that ever lived. 90% of the people that ever were born since Adam.
Thank you, Lord.
You ought to thank God every day for your abundance and for your comfort, for your air conditioning,
Amen.
For your lights,
Amen.
For your cars.
Amen.
I don't like walking anymore. I want to drive everywhere. Got to do something in the backyard. Well, can my car get in there? Terrible. Okay. It says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. It was given unto him. Can you trust a God that does that? I can. Because I trust God to be God, I don't have to make him over in my image. I don't have any limits on God. Make war with the saints and overcame them. That's just a hard phrase in a sentence. It's true, though. It's coming. It's coming. And God's going to let it happen. And power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Power, this one of those 10 kings that's going to take over everything, going to be the Antichrist, going to be the world ruler, the world dictator, is going to do what all the other dictators wanted to do. Hitler, he got most of Germany back, almost without firing a shot. But he wanted the whole world. These great rulers that we hear about, they ran their armies over all sorts of peoples, conquered. Alexander the Great dies at 33, but having conquered most of the world at that time, wow, they want to go someplace else. I read somewhere that he died either as an epileptic fit or a drunken fit, and one of his great disappointments was there's no more places to conquer. What are you living for? You got $20 billion and you're still in business. Why? It's the game. It's the control. It's power. And a lot of people are drunk on power. They're not drunk on alcohol. They're not drunk on sex. They're not drunk on drugs. No, they're drunk on power. They want control. And that's what we have all around the world right now. That's why all these different wars come about. Somebody wants control. This guy's going to get it. What no one else has ever done, he's going to do. What all these rulers that you read about in history and you think about, whatever, how smart they were, how great generals they were, he's going to do it. And God's going to let him. Now, don't let that bother you. God's in control of everything.
Amen.
And I know you can't understand when your baby dies. Right. You can't understand when you get cancer. You can't understand when your father dies just after you're born. You don't understand things like that. And you're not expected to. You got to trust God. We have to trust God. And that's what you're going to... There's a verse in here. We'll get to it in a minute. If I can keep from chasing rabbits. He's going to be able to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. That is a tremendous statement. Nobody in the history of the world has ever been that powerful. It's going to be one big powerful man. And it says in verse 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." They're going to worship him. They're going to think God's come. They're going to think God has finally come, what Christ did. They're going to think this is him. So it's the Antichrist. Now, he says in verse 9, "If any man have an ear..." I love this statement. It's repeated over and over again in the book of Revelation and other places in the Bible. If any man have an ear. You have any ears? I sometimes think nobody has any ears. I wonder sometimes at my ears. Am I listening right? Am I getting the right thing? Of course, Billy tells me I need hearing aids. He says he's tired of repeating for me. Repeat them more. Do you have ears? Do you have spiritual ears? Of course you got ears. Do you have spiritual ears? Can you be spoken to by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God? Now here's what he's telling you. Now this is going to wipe out a whole lot of propositions and thinking of great scholars, religious or not. He says right here, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life." If any man have ears, let him hear. If he got an ear. If you got spiritual truth coming your way and you don't pay attention to it, whose fault is that?
Amen.
That's yours.
Amen.
You might as well take the blame. You got time to read your Bible, but you'd rather watch television. You got time to read your Bible, you'd rather read books. You got time to read your Bible, you'd rather be out fishing or hunting or repairing a bicycle in the garage.
Amen.
Well, whose fault is that?
Amen.
You don't want to know enough. I just really think I had a tremendous salvation experience. And it was just literally transformed my mind, my thinking. I wanted to know what this book said. And if you've read it, read your Bible once, read your Bible twice, read your Bible three times, and we'll give you a gold star. But you're going to have to read it more than that if you really want to understand it. You got to get some definitions, like these definitions in the book, some of the things that are said in this chapter right here. It makes it sure that it's not like a lot of people think. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Wow. He didn't say he was going to deliver you like he did to the children out of the fire furnace, did he? That isn't what he said. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I think that is an axiom of all life. It goes with sowing and reaping, and it's spiritual, it's physical, it's mental, it's financial, every way. Well, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's what he's telling you, isn't it? Okay, so you're a Christian, and you're living at this time. You have accepted Christ, and you're living at this time, and you see people killed all around you. You see people hauled off into prison like the Jews were in the Holocaust. They're just taking everything, taken away from them, separated the families, take them out, kill them a bunch of different ways, work them as slaves and whatever. Where is God, you might say? Where is God? Well, look what it says. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Now here's the patience and the faith of the saints. Here's where the saints need patience. There's just a lot of things you take for promises on the earth that are not promises on this earth. He didn't promise you a mansion down here. He promised you a mansion up there. I would have been happy if he just gave me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. You know that old hillbilly song. Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. You know, I don't have to have a mansion. Well, he knows that, but God's little mansions are going to be great. You may get the smallest mansion in heaven. It'll be wonderful. It'll be outside of sight.
Amen.
You know, the patience and faith of the saints. When do you need faith? When everything's going right for you? When you got a job? You got plenty of money? You got a credit card? You can fly all over the world? You don't need faith. You need faith when everything's going wrong. You need faith when they fire you. You need faith when somebody lies about you. You need faith when your child dies. You need patience. This isn't over until we go to the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not over then. We're eternal. We're going to be with God in heaven. Man, I'm telling you, I love the thought of heaven. I don't think I'm going to be sitting on cloud nine with my ukulele. I really don't. And of course, heaven would not be heaven if I was playing the ukulele. But here is the patience and faith of the saints. What he's telling you, understand all of these great movements, all of this killing, all of this stealing, all of this control, it's going to be paid back. But it's not necessarily here. Do they catch every murderer or rapist or... No. Some of them live old lives. It's like some of these dictators. They for years, what is it, Imelda Marcos had so many shoes. She had a shoe fetish. She just had what would fill your house. Just all the shoes that she had. You're a rich person, you can buy all these shoes. And can you imagine... I mean, there's kids that want tennis shoes that cost $700. Tennis shoes? $700? Goodness gracious. And then what about something? I heard somebody's shoes sold for a couple of million. Somebody that has money enough to pay a couple of $1 million for an old pair of tennis shoes that belong to some player spends $1 million on them and sets them up somewhere. Something's wrong. You're not in dire need. You need faith and you need patience when troubles come your way. I don't think the church is going to be here at all. I think the church here in chapter 4, verse 1, she went up to heaven, and you don't see her on the earth until chapter 19 when she comes back with the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the converted Jews, and these are these preachers going around the world trying to tell the whole world that Christ is coming. Amen. And that's what they're going to die for. There's going to be a lot of them killed. Okay, now we're going to get another beast. That was the Antichrist we were talking about there. This is the anti-Holy Spirit. This is going to be the one that's like the Holy Spirit. Verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Well, now the dragon's the devil, isn't it? He talks like the devil. But he has two horns like a ram. That's a sheep, it's a lamb, that's Jesus. He looks like Jesus and speaks like the devil. Oh boy, it's an interesting thing here. Now it's another beast, and he comes up from the land. Now, where the land is, I'm not sure. I would assume the land is Palestine, so he might be a Jew, or something like that. Might not be, but the first beast, the Antichrist, comes up out of the sea, and the sea generally represents all the nations. So he's not necessarily a Jew or not necessarily at the particular place. But here this anti-Holy Spirit, this second beast that comes up out of the land. So he's coming from a different place, and it just might be the nation of Israel. Verse 12. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. What does the Holy Spirit do? He's Christ. He does what Christ. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Is it to glorify the Holy Spirit? I know a lot of Pentecostal churches, and they glorify the Holy Spirit. Well, what does the Holy Spirit do? It glorifies Christ. When you see the work of the Holy Spirit, it's going to lift up Christ. It's not going to lift up the Holy Spirit. Well, now what's he going to do here? He's going to lift up the Antichrist. His job is to make the whole world worship this Antichrist, this ruler that we're talking about here, that's going to control the world for 3.5 years. And he says, he exerciseth all the powers of the first beast before him, causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. What have you got? You got it just exactly like Christ. Christ dies. He goes to the cross of Calvary. They pronounce him dead. They did not break his legs. They take him and put him in a grave. 3 days later, he's out. By the way, 3 days and three nights, there's no such thing as Good Friday. Amen. Can't be. He said, yeah, I'll be 3 days and three nights in the grave. You can't get three nights in there any way you look at it. Any rate, it says he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. What were the Jews hollering at Jesus throughout most of the Gospels? Show us a sign. He said, I'll give you a sign, sign of Jonah. But they had plenty of signs. They were going to kill Lazarus. They were going to kill Lazarus because people were believing on Christ because they heard Lazarus was dead and he came up out of the grave and alive. What you have here is an imitation of that. Christ was dead, pronounced dead, put in a grave. And what was the thing, the one thing that the apostles went around the world and went to their deaths claiming Christ is alive. Christ is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. He rose from the dead. That's what you believe, or you're not saved. Christ is alive and He's living in me. He's changed me. I've got His Word. What a wonderful thing that we have. All right. The Antichrist is going to do the same thing, and it's going to be the sign that's going to make the world live. He just may get blown away on live television. And a few days later, he shows up again. Well, that proved to the world, and the world said, that's Christ. That's God. Why, look at all the power that he has. Man, he's got power over death. And so the Antichrist is helped by the anti-Holy Spirit as they push it. Look at the proof that he's God. Look at the proof that he should be the ruler of the world. And so he lifts him up. It says he exerciseth all the power, verse 12, of the first beast before him, causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and earth in the sight of men. He's going to have signs. Do you know what an awful lot of people out here would believe for a while? Signs. Now, we're in San Antonio. This is a pretty Catholic town. And do you ever notice on the news every once in a while, oh, they've got this vision of the Virgin in this tree out on the south side of town. And people will drive by there to look at this vision. Well, what do you think they're going to do when the Antichrist rises back up from the dead? There it is. There's your proof. And that's what we believe about Christ. Well, they're going to believe that about the Antichrist. And they're going to go around the world, going to cause the whole world to worship him. They're going to have signs. He says, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you, just like Elijah. You know, that second officer wasn't too smart. The king commands you to come down. Well, I say, let fire come down on you. So the third guy, remember the third captain that came out to visit Elijah? He saw these burn spots. And he said, oh, dear sir, I've been ordered to do this. You know, please have mercy upon me. Well, the Antichrist is going to do that. It says right there. These guys have the power to do things like that. So he doeth great wonders, verse 13. He maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword. Yeah, I said shot a while ago. And did live. He's killed by a sword. All right. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. You know, I am really fascinated by the big statue of Peter in Rome. I understand that is a granite statue. Granite's pretty tough rock. And Peter's big toe has been worn away by the kisses of the believers. Can you believe that? Now, I've never seen it myself. I've just read about it and heard about it. But you got these feet there and they're going to kiss his big toe. It's granite. And that toe is just worn down. The toe's not there. They've kissed it so many times. Can you imagine? I just can't imagine something like that. But anyway, he had power to give life unto the image. Now, they're going to make this big image of the beast, the Antichrist. They're making an image of the Antichrist. It's like these great statues of Jesus. That's idolatry, folks. It's in a lot of Christian churches, and we've just accepted with open arms, I guess. But it's idolatry. You don't worship a cross. You don't. Man, all these radio preachers selling pieces of the cross. But there are people that send off, must send the money because they keep doing it. Well, what you have here, he's going to have power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Wow. He's going to make that image talk. You want signs? Devil going to give you signs. You say, well, I can't believe what the Bible says about faith. And bless your heart, the amazing way the Bible fits together is to me wonderful proof. All these different authors, over 1,500 years, and you put Daniel's prophecy with the book of Revelation, and wow, it just brings the whole thing together. And you think that's an accident? Or you think some smart man did that? I've read a lot of smart man's books. Smart men, yeah, they write a lot of books, but man, they're not that smart. And what you got here, what it's telling you, this Antichrist and anti-Holy Spirit, the unholy Trinity, is going to make the world believe at least for 3.5 years. And so a lot of people right today that are rejecting Christ are going to accept the Antichrist, if he comes in our time. I think I better stop right there. I think the time's up for